Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Caritis. Today is Sunday, April 11th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me. Doing a Sunday markets overnight segment because I did not do a podcast on Friday, and also because the chair of the Federal Reserve, Jay Powell, gave an interview to 60 Minutes, which aired this evening, so I want to talk about that. So the focus of this podcast is going to be a little bit more shorter and briefer and really just talk about that interview and what's taking place in the markets overnight. So we have the dollar index trading at 92 spot 27, in the green about 0.1% 1%. We have broad-based dollar strength across the board right now in the overnight session. Bitcoin is up slightly, trading at $59,800 per coin, so flirting with that $60,000 handle with Bitcoin. Overnight futures markets with the U.S. exchanges, the Dow Jones, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ 100 are all currently in the red, all down about 0.3%. The cash trade in Japan is giving back about 0.5%. Cash trade in Australia, the same. And Chinese stocks are down about 0.7%. So clearly, at least the initial knee-jerk reaction, stronger dollar, weaker equities, based off of this interview, that of course will be part of the narrative. This could change on a dime when the cash trade opens here in the States several hours from now. But at least right now, the knee-jerk reaction is a broad-based sell-off in equities and dollar strength. However, that is not putting a dent in energy. We have both WTI and Brent up slightly, but both up nonetheless. WTI, $59.35 a barrel. Brent, $63.03. Natural gas, $2.56. Although I guess the dollar strength is putting a little bit of a hit on the precious metals, with gold down about 0.3% and silver down about 0.6% currently, with gold at $1,738 an ounce, silver at $25.08 an ounce, and copper is also down 1%, right at $4 per pound. So that is interesting. And of course, on Friday, U.S. equities, the broader indexes hitting all-time highs. Okay, nothing to see here, nothing to worry about. Jay Powell and company have everything under control, don't they? And Uncle Sam's 10-year junk note is yielding 1.65%. Okay, so there you have it. That is market performance and some market action right now. If you were able to watch this interview, I guess, well, you know, that's 20 minutes of your life you're never going to get back. If you haven't watched it, don't. A complete waste of time. No surprise, but you want to hold out hope, I guess. So if you get the chance to watch it as it's airing, okay, let's hold out some hope that maybe Scott Pelley and company at 60 Minutes are going to ask some tough questions. There was not a tough question asked at all whatsoever. I mean, I would have rather these guys just went out to get a cup of coffee and the 60 Minutes camera crew caught it. That would have been better. Well, I like the guy. I just want to buy him a cup of coffee and have a little conversation. 60 Minutes did not do the American public any justice, any service whatsoever. It was basically kissing his butt. I mean, softball after softball after softball question. And you don't even have to grill him. You don't have to be disrespectful. You can just ask some basic questions. I mean, the hardest stuff, if you even want to call that, was when Scott Pelley of 60 Minutes was asking, well, with stock prices where they are, are they overvalued? And of course, he dodged that question and said, well, some metrics, they might be a little bit higher, and by other metrics, not so much, you know, tomato, tomato, it really doesn't make a difference. And so, pushed that one away. Of course, doesn't talk about anything. Talks about the quote-unquote economic recovery and how jobs are going to be coming roaring back. Well, then why didn't Scott Pelley, why wasn't he prepared with some basic data? Why didn't he just simply press him and say, Mr. Chairman, that's fine, and we can all hope that that's the case, that once the economy opens up and all of these jobs hopefully come back, okay, yes, we all want this, we understand this. But initial jobless claims came in at 744,000 last week. And that was just for regular state unemployment benefits. What about the PUA program, which was another 152,000? So you're near 900,000 Americans filing an initial claim last week, when supposedly we have this great rollout of the vaccine and cities and states are starting to reopen. So why do we continue to see this type of number? And then it would be nice for Scott Pelley in 60 Minutes to put that into perspective for the broader audience, because they're not going to understand what that number necessarily means. But say, look, Mr. Chairman, this number has been this bad for over a year now. And last week's figure was worse than anticipated. And for further context, Mr. Chairman, these numbers are still worse than where we were during the depths of the great financial crisis. There was none of this whatsoever. There was no pushback whatsoever. What was interesting, and rightly so, for 60 Minutes to bring up in their conversation about current risks and future risks potentially to the system, was when he brought up Archegos Capital Management, that family office hedge fund, whatever you want to call it, that was basically on the brink of failure and caused multi-billion dollar losses in international banks. Now, evidently, from what we understand, Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley and even Deutsche Bank were able to see the writing on the wall, and they got out of their positions. So they were not negatively impacted, even though they were doing business with Archegos. Their risk management team or whoever was in the know knew enough to get out of Dodge. Apparently, the teams at Nomura, Japanese investment bank, and Credit Suisse, they clearly did not understand what was going on, or they were just too late to catch up. And now both of those banks individually are going to be suffering several billion dollar losses. So what those banks have just made in profits because of the gift that keeps on giving from one central bank after the next, and all of their trading desks, and all the profits they've been making, they just got wiped away like that because of one small family office. And this question was brought up, like I said, which is why I'm discussing it now. And Jay Powell's response was basically like, well, you know, we really didn't see this coming type thing. And, you know, I don't know if we could have, you know, seen something like this coming, which is complete ridiculousness, because this has happened before. This is not the first time that one hedge fund has caused a systemic event, or could have caused a systemic event across the entire financial system. That's what would make it systemic. I mean, long-term capital management, ring a bell? The brilliant hedge fund managers that could do no wrong, that almost brought the entire system to its knees in the late 90s? But of course, Alan Greenspan and company, the then Federal Reserve chair, came to the rescue and bailed them out and bought us a little bit more time for the dot-com boom. Just a couple more years, and then it was obviously the bust. And don't forget, peak to trough, nearly 80% decline. But these yahoos, they can't see this stuff coming. Oh, we couldn't see that coming. We didn't know that that was a possibility. And that was a good question. And that was something that CBS in 60 Minutes should have pushed Jay Powell on further. You don't really know what's going on, do you? Nobody does. Don't you think all of this excess liquidity that you guys are throwing into the system, I mean, do you really have a grasp as to where it's all going? Do you understand the counterparty risks? Do the banks that are transacting with these hedge funds and amongst themselves, do they understand it? Clearly not. Clearly not. What did we learn from the great financial crisis? Clearly nothing. Because this was the same stuff that was taking place then. It continues to take place now. And a lot of it, I think, is even deeper into the shadows. A lot of it is in these family offices. A lot of it is in private equity. And don't forget that Jay Powell comes from private equity. Okay? You see how this all works? Buddy-buddy group, you see, you understand where all this money's circulating? 60 Minutes didn't press Jay Powell on the income or the wealth inequality. Yes, we understand that the Federal Reserve came in, did this, did that, is going to do this, going to continue to do that. But look at what has happened, Mr. Chairman. $4 trillion went to the top 1%. Several trillion more went to the top 10%. Clearly, something is amiss here, because you also say, use his words against them, you also say that the Federal Reserve wants to tackle wealth inequality. But aren't you contributing to this widening gap of wealth inequality? I would have loved to have heard an answer on that. Again, very respectful. You don't have to attack them. You don't have to go into all the great detail and other things that we bring up here on a daily basis. You can just ask some basic questions. That's all I'm asking. Just some basic, common sense questions. Didn't ask about the national debt and these trillion-dollar deficits. Well, what does that matter? I mean, how long can we continue to finance this before it becomes a problem? Or is it ever going to become a problem? What's the purpose of taxes if clearly tax revenue is not any type of constraint to the type of size of a deficit that you are willing to finance? Yet, you could use his words against him again and say, Mr. Chairman, before all of this, you said that the national debt and the deficits that were being run were problematic and cause for concern. Something needed to be done. Not your place, maybe, to dictate or to even recommend what Congress does, whatever, but it is your area of expertise to at least say something has to be done. And you did. But now, trillions and trillions and trillions deeper into debt, multi-trillion dollar deficits for the past couple of years and for the foreseeable future, and you're not raising any alarm bells. Why not? Basic question. Push them on it. Get a concrete answer. The hits just kept on coming, that this was just such a softball interview. To me, just simple further evidence of the system. It's one big club. We ain't in it. It's the propaganda arm of the system. CBS, and it really doesn't matter. I'm not picking on CBS here. If any of these other outlets, whether it was NBC, ABC, they would have been the same softball questions. Maybe if it was somebody like Bloomberg or the Wall Street Journal or even the Financial Times interviewing Jay Powell, you might have gotten a little bit more data-oriented. And then you could have said, okay, well, here are some of the numbers, Mr. Chairman. How do these things sort of square together with what you're saying? Because it doesn't match. It doesn't match. This wealth inequality that you're saying is problematic, aren't you the cause of it, or at least a contributing factor to it? Rising equity prices. Some would argue at all-time high valuations on various metrics. Don't you have something to do with that? We've seen these types of valuations before or close to it, and we know how it what happens after the fact, and it's typically not good. What do you have to say about that? What are you going to do about that, if anything? Is that your charter? Is that what you're supposed to do? Basic questions. Basic questions. Who gives you the authority to do what you're doing? One emergency facility after the next. You say you're concerned about smaller businesses, yet give them the stats. Give them a small biz pulse check. What's going on out there? Why isn't all of this money that has been given to all the big guys, why hasn't it been given to the small guys too? I mean, just, it's par for the course. So this should not surprise anybody who has been a subscriber or a frequent listener of the Capital News podcast. But those of you who may just be tuning in for the first time, this, believe me when I say, is par for the course with what we are fed day in and day out. And one of the reasons why so many members of the Federal Reserve and other central banks internationally have been giving so many speeches and interviews is because they know they're trapped. It's all about the propaganda now. It's all about keeping the illusion suspended. Keep it going. Keep this thing going. Do not stop it. Believe us. A little discussion on inflation. Yeah, we're fine if CPI gets to 2%. That's what we're targeting. That's what we're targeting. That's what we would like to see happen. And of course, if it gets a little bit hotter than 2%, we're perfectly fine with that because we want it to be somewhat symmetrical because for so long it was below 2%. So if it runs a little hotter above 2%, that's fine because we'll allow that to average out. complete and utter nonsense. You will not find this in any economic textbook whatsoever, unless one of these idiots puts together a textbook and says, yes, this is what you do. You don't do this. They're making this stuff up. I mean, no problem there either. Don't push him on anything. Don't push him on anything that has been taking place with commodity prices, food prices in this country, food prices internationally, not connecting any of the dots with one coup or one protest or one riot after the next due to higher costs of living. No connections whatsoever. Softball questions. Total disservice. And the media is supposed to be the fourth branch of government. That is how the country, that is how the citizenry, that is how the voting public is supposed to become informed. So this just tells you the caliber of our media, which is in the trash, just like so many other institutions, the Federal Reserve being another one. Complete garbage. So propaganda, it's the narrative. Overnight markets, cash trade in Asia and Australia, so far they do not like it. They do not like it. And the Federal Reserve Chair continues to commit to not increasing interest rates. He said, oh, there's pretty much no way that there's going to be any type of interest rate increase this year. And of course, there are many members of the Fed who are not even projecting that there's going to be an interest rate increase next year. Next year, in all of the inflation, it's just going to be transitory, and they'll be able to handle the whole thing, no problem whatsoever. Yet they can't see any of these things blowing up. They can't see Archegos Capital Management blowing up. They can't see any type of overvaluation in the stock market. They don't see the wealth inequality as being part of their policies as to why this is happening and why the gap is getting even bigger. They can't connect the dots, yet we're supposed to trust them that inflation's just going to be transitory, if it even exists. And if it does exist, they'll be able to take care of it, which is also a complete joke, because if that is the case and they want to increase interest rates in a system that I argue is even more fragile than it was a couple of years ago, again, going back to the fourth quarter of 2018, when equities sold off 20% in the fourth quarter, that is when you had a federal funds rate about 2.4%, a 10-year junk note at 3.33%, and the markets couldn't handle it. Now you have even more debt in the system. You have millions of people more unemployed. At that juncture, you were near full employment. You were close to 3.5%. Now they claim we're at 6%, although the Fed claims we're closer to 10. Why wasn't that a question that was asked by Scott Pelley in 60 Minutes? That was right there. Mr. Chairman, the Bureau of Labor Statistics has obviously produced monthly jobs reports. And a couple of months ago, when the official unemployment rate was 6.3%, you actually came out and challenged that official statistic. You said, we don't believe that it's really at 6.3% as the BLS says. We believe it's closer to 10%. Well, what is the BLS missing? Why would you say such a thing? And then you would ask the follow-up question. The BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, is also the statistic bureau that calculates the CPI figure. So you're saying we shouldn't believe one statistic, the unemployment rate, but are you arguing that we should trust the BLS when they calculate CPI? How do you square that circle? Basic questions, ladies and gentlemen. All you have to do is pay attention. You don't have to be an economist. You don't have to be a financial market analyst. All you have to do is pay attention, connect the dots, and have a couple brain cells to rub together that allows you to formulate some independent thought. And if you can do those things, then you can ask some basic common sense questions. This is what you said. And then this is what you're doing. This is what somebody else said. This is what somebody else is doing. Do these things square up? If they do, fine. Why are you doing that? If they don't, why don't these things square up? And what are you going to do about it? Just a little bit of accountability. The Federal Reserve is an extremely powerful institution. Jay Powell is an extremely powerful man. He can move markets with what he says and does. Clearly. And it's bogus. And I think in the run-up, or the introduction, I should say, to the interview, Scott Pelley even claimed that the Federal Reserve is responsible for managing and controlling the economy. Managing and controlling the economy. Now, I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly what he said, but that was the gist of it. That we're centrally planned, this is what it is, and this is the institution that does it. So that's how they are educating and informing the broader American public and voter base that this is what the Federal Reserve is and does. They control the economy. No, that's not how it's supposed to work in this country. That's not how it's supposed to work. Free market. The people making individual free choices as to where they want to spend their money. That's who runs the economy. The market does. Not a bunch of eggheads sitting around a table dictating what interest rates should be and what emergency policies should be enacted. And that's another thing. We have home prices at all-time highs, Mr. Powell. Why do you continue to buy mortgage-backed securities? Come on. This ain't difficult. Why do you continue to purchase $120 billion per month in quantitative easing purchases? U.S. Treasuries, mortgage-backed securities. $120 billion a month, ladies and gentlemen. I know we are in the world of trillions, but $120 billion a month at minimum is still a ton of money. Ton of money. That's basically the net worth of Warren Buffett. It's the bulk of the net worth of Bill Gates. The bulk of the net worth of Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, etc., etc. That is a ton of money. It's taken those individuals their entire lives to accumulate that much money. And a lot of it, of course, is because of the funny money printing that's been taking place over the past couple of years. But nonetheless, you get my point as to how big a number that is. And that's what they continue to throw into the system month after month after month. Yet they claim that we're well on to our path to recovery. Bunch of hogwash. It's a bunch of nonsense. We know where the money's going. We know who's benefiting from it. And we're going to find out soon here because we're already in the early innings of the second quarter. So that means we are going to start getting the financial results of larger corporations for their first quarter results. And some of that's going to be taking place this week. So we'll be on the lookout for that. So to me, no surprise. Wanted to hold out hope just a little bit that maybe Scott Pelley in 60 Minutes would bring some more color and clarity as to the severity, as to what has taken place because of the lockdowns, the decisions that were made fiscally and monetarily speaking, but there was none of that. It was, you're the chairman of the Federal Reserve, correct? Yes, I am. Yes, in fact, I am. What's your favorite color? Oh, yes, mine too. I like that color too. Are you wearing socks today? Oh, yes, good, wonderful. Those were the types of questions we get. So we can't be surprised when we witness what we witness out in the markets, out in the real economy. So there you have it. That's Markets Overnight. Jay Powell speaks. We'll see the follow-up as to what takes place throughout this week. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.